The initial meeting for United for Peace and Justice was in Washington, D.C. on October 25, 2002. More than 70 peace and justice organizations agreed to form a new coalition to coordinate efforts to end the war in Iraq. Over the past 10 years, the organization grew to more than 1,400 member groups around the world working on a broad range of issues. Michael McPherson is the national coordinator for United for Peace and Justice and a board member of Veterans for Peace. He says even though the Iraq War has ended, at least nominally, one of the reasons there is still an anti-war movement is because of Afghanistan.
And also we want to change our foreign policy from being so militaristic, using war as a main means, which is what we saw in Iraq, to diplomacy and human needs here at home. So yes, the movement still continues.
President Obama, in his State of the Union last month, announced the withdrawal of 34,000 troops from Afghanistan by around this time next year. McPherson applauds the move, but says he would like to have heard that all troops were coming home. As for Iraq, though the occupation has ended, there is a way the peace movement draws attention there.
The peace movement, one of the things we are doing or have to do is help people see the damage that we cause and the suffering that continues in Iraq.
McPherson was a field artillery officer during the first Gulf War, and in December of 2003, he returned to Iraq as part of a peace delegation. He says his son joined the army and served one tour in Iraq beginning in 2005. During the Iraq War, McPherson says the anti-war movement was front and center.
I think one thing during that time period, we were probably the forefront of any kind of activism or resistance in the streets. Today, because of the economy, and maybe other things, but specifically because of the economy, a lot of activism that's taken place, like the Occupy movement, for example, that's not as strong as it was, has been about the economy. Another thing that's happening is we see the rise of the climate change movement to try to deal with that. So what the peace movement is doing now is relating to these movements that are growing and becoming stronger.
He says peace activists are now lending their voice to these other movements, yet still relating to them from an anti-war perspective, coming at them from the economics of war or the environmental cost.
We ask people to look at how much money we're spending and compare it to the rest of the world, for example. We spend more than everybody else combined on our military. Or when it comes to climate change, the U.S. military is the largest polluter because with all the equipment, you know, tanks and trucks and everything. So there's a lot of things that we can support other people's struggles as the peace movement.
Dr. Sidney Plotkin is a professor of political science at Vassar College in Poughkeepsie. He says the nature of war and U.S. militarism is changing in a way that renders the politics of the anti-war movement more complex.
Instead of confronting the likelihood of major land wars, major invasions of the type we saw in Iraq and Afghanistan, increasingly it looks like the U.S. is going to be operating militarily by subterfuge, that is, through drones, special operations activities, a variety of secret wars, which become much less obvious to the public, much less transparent, and in that sense, much more difficult to confront in an integrated, effective way.
Though perhaps more difficult to target, United for Peace and Justice's McPherson says the anti-war movement persists in opposing the use of drones.
Well, right now, of course, Afghanistan, Pakistan, every place that our foreign policy is using drones, that we believe the drone policy is a bad policy because it kills a lot of civilians and ends up creating more enemies.
And Vassar's Plotkin suggests that the peace movement may have traction with an unlikely ally.
One of the things that's particularly interesting and provocative about the current moment that changes the situation for the anti-war movement in interesting ways is that the Republican Party itself seems to be splitting over questions of defense policy. We've had in the recent weeks Senator Rand Paul in his famous filibuster opposing the president with respect to the use of drones, for example. If the Republican Party splits in ways that drive a wedge with respect to rising defense budgets, a strong militaristic posture in national defense policy, the anti-war movement may find interesting allies among the libertarian right.
He refers to U.S. Republican Senator from Kentucky, Rand Paul. With a new political ally or not, today, United for Peace and Justice serves as a network of hundreds of peace and justice organizations around the world working to end war and oppression, shift resources toward human needs, protect the environment, and promote sustainable alternatives. Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau at the State University of New York at New Paltz, I'm Allison Dunn.